Prime Day is coming July 16th and 17th, with epic deals exclusively for Prime members. You'll feel like you just won an award.
Oh, wow, I didn't even prepare a speech. I'd like to thank my family for always needing stuff. Also, Sam, my delivery guy, for bringing all my awesome deals so fast. You're the man, Sam!
Shop deals on electronics, home, and more this Prime Day, July 16th and 17th.
Just like backyard barbecues or a day at the pool, the Three Rivers Festival has always been a part of our summer fun. And the festival returns July 12th to the 20th. It kicks off with the annual Three Rivers Festival Parade. Browse art in the park with local artisans. Bring the family to Children's Fest. Stroll through Junk Food Alley. And don't forget about the festival concerts at the Hoosier Lottery stage with live music from nationally renowned acts. You can buy your concert tickets or check out a schedule of events at threeriversfestival.org. Don't miss the best summer experience in Fort Wayne, the Three Rivers Festival.
Dynamite!
Hey everybody, it's the Dynamite Show. Paul Fontaine alongside Jeff Hawkins back from Las Vegas and Double or Nothing. I just flew in from Vegas and boy are my arms tired. Jeff is just stone-faced.
All right, that's our show, everybody. Talk to you later.
Yeah. So interesting week, Jeff. Of course, we just saw the pay-per-view and you and I were there.
We have to give the people, what were you up in Vegas?
I was actually down a little bit, but
broke even my last day.
Oh, nice. No, because I came home.
I accidentally hopped the tens on craps and hit 30-1 on our 10.
If I only did blackjack and sports bets, I would have been up, but I'm a sucker for some of these parlor games.
Ultimate Hold'em and War, yes. And yes.
And even, well, not War, but Ultimate Hold'em, yes. And free bet blackjack. Okay. So yeah. And that, which is not real blackjack, but no, the last day was really good. I got almost back to even with a really nice run. So, but that was a long ass show.
It was.
Yeah. And I mean, it's funny because I said before the show, you know, like this show, we could lop off four matches and it would be just fine. You know, six match show, you know, like WWE does. Yeah. Okay. I'm saying do things like WWE, whatever. And not to say that those matches weren't good, but I think you could have put them on this week's show on Dynamite.
Yeah.
Dynamite.
I wasn't here for the first few pay-per-views, but on my own show, I used to compare this to like going to Bonnaroo and seeing jam bands, and everybody kind of gets to do their own rambling solo for a while, and they're not really as tight. And sometimes you'll see a band like the String Cheese Incident or Government Mule, and they'll go like a 17-minute song or something like that when it could have been like 14 or 10 or something like that. It was weird. It's not that I didn't have fun, because I did, and I really liked Anarchy in the Arena. But after the Will Ospreay match and after the MJF promo, it felt dead for about 3 hours in that building to me.
Yep. From the end of the MJF promo to the start of the Moxley match.
To the start of, or even the triple main event. I mean, even the Moxley one was a little slow at first, because,
yeah.
I agree.
I'd go as far as to say, like, I mean, it was a good show, but if you lopped off those four matches.
There were matches you could have lopped. We didn't need Trent and Orange Cassidy.
No, Trent and Orange Cassidy. Show. Honestly, we didn't need Tony Storm and Serena Deeb. And what was the other one? Oh, that triple threat for the FTW title. Oh my God.
Yeah, the triple threat we could have done without too.
Yeah, and then the trios match was awesome, and it's a great pay-per-view match. And if it was the seventh match on the show, I don't think I would be complaining or anyone would be. But if it was the main event of this week's Dynamite, if they'd built it up last week and said, hey, you know, we got leftover matches from Double or Nothing, we're going to get a pay-per-view quality match headlining Dynamite next week. You know, and it was that match, I think it would have been great, but you know, whatever.
I have the post in question, by the way.
Okay, so yeah, we're going to talk about something that Brian Alvarez posted on the F4W board, and it's like you and I were involved in some discussions with people over the weekend, and I was at the F4W suite party, and there was a lot of conversations going on there just about the way things are going. And read what Kevin Ely transcribed from the F4W board. I haven't actually seen it.
Okay, here it is. Brian Alvarez. AEW today is a billion times better than WWE in 2019, which tends to be a talking point of comparison for some reason. But with that said, Tony switched the script on yesterday's pay-per-view multiple times during the afternoon. Most people, not just the wrestlers, have no idea what they're doing until the day of the show, and sometimes not until an hour or so before the show. People are flown to towns and given nothing to do. Others are begged the day before the show to please get to the town so they can do something last minute. He knows what he wants to do for pay-per-views, although this often changes, but as far as week-to-week TV, everything is booked show-to-show. For most people, he's incredibly difficult to get hold of. In some ways, it legitimately is more like 2019 WWE than it is 2019 AEW, where he was much easier to get hold of. He had very complex long-term storytelling. Many people had a good idea of what they were doing and where things were going, and often most of the following week's entire Dynamite card was booked and announced before the previous week's Dynamite had even ended. Remember when Excalibur would run down to the dozen matches in 30 seconds for the following week? It's night and day the changes, and people who work for the company in all roles, from the wrestlers to the office, talk about it in caps all the time.
Okay.
Paul, who has been, in terms of wrestling criticism, the man who has been saying these types of things in terms of a showrunner with a vision booking in advance week to week and saying he can't cook because it feels like he's doing things week to week? Yeah, boy. I've been saying this, and everybody fought me on it.
And and a lot of the stuff I've been saying, too, you know, at different times, like, you know, the stuff about not having cards announced for the next week. And they did it tonight. You know, they gave us some matches for next week.
Yes,
so I think he's listening.
I think he's listening. I think he still retains so much control of the creative process, or he doesn't retain enough control of the creative process. I'm not sure which at this point, because it feels like it's like, okay, here's a segment. Figure out what you want to do for it. Send them off on their merry way. But there's still too much television for one man. And especially if you want to get week to week, here to here. And it's not just about, okay, we're gonna have a card, I'm gonna book a bunch of matches, and then we'll figure something out in between. It's you have to have these. He should know television 6 months in advance.
Well, I mean, that's tough, because I mean, and what I've heard is that one of the reasons he doesn't like to do long-term booking anymore is because of injuries. But a good booker can adjust when injuries happen. You know, and like, you know, this past week is a prime example. Like, you know, Copeland gets injured on the pay-per-view, and you know, so they, although
dumb who couldn't, spot. I hated
who
that
couldn't
spot.
Have saw that coming. You know, 50-year-old dives off a thing in midair, everybody watching could tell he was going to kill himself. The shows are good almost in spite of themselves in some cases. Like, I thought tonight was a good show, but what you talk about, like about people not knowing and stuff, there's like an alarming lack of cohesion in this show. On the same show where Sky Blue attacks Mercedes and gets a title shot later on in the show,
yeah,
you have Daniel Garcia saying, I'm going to work my way up to a title shot. And you know, and like, what's going on here?
We've had a lot of communication issues too. In the history
of AEW, two straight segments where someone called people bitches.
Yeah, well, I mean, but not just that. But I mean, just in overall, I mean, it's not just the television, because we've had these, and people would always blame the talent that were like complaining or whatever that there was no like. There was the issue with Big Swole, as we recall. There was the issue with Tully Blanchard being double booked to show up at a, I think it was the Ring of Honor show, at the same time he was supposedly doing one of his ministry things. And people were always like, people were always so quick to blame it on the talent person, as opposed to maybe there's just not proper planning and communication far enough out to tell you where you need to be on a certain night. Now, as for television, to me, this show felt like it was slapped together a little bit. There was a lot going on this show. This almost felt like we need to tell everybody everything that's going on right now, in not just on the show, but in the first hour We need to tell everybody what's going on for Forbidden Door.
To their credit, they did tell us what happened on Double or Nothing. Extensive video packages.
By the way, I did see the Soraya tweet about her match being canceled at the last minute. She was supposed to face, I believe, Mariah May.
Oh, so they're Dynamite moving that tonight. That match, I think, is happening on Friday Night Dynamite, which is not Friday Night Dynamite, but we'll get to that.
We'll see if Soraya shows up for the match now.
Well, isn't it taped tonight?
Who knows?
Oh, okay. Alpha Omega had a thing here. Wasn't there a released wrestler a few years ago who complained about not being given anything and left to their own devices? I'm almost positive that was Leo Rush.
Leo Rush.
Ironically.
Big Swole, I think.
Yeah.
I believe even Kazarian was one of those people who was like...
That sounds more familiar. Yeah. Oh, Saraya versus Mariah May is next Wednesday. Okay. It's in my notes. I didn't look at it. Curry had thing here about Tony becoming 2017 to 2019 Vince McMahon. I mean, aside from the gang rape and the statue, you know,
all right. Let's take the point for how he meant it, please.
I know.
But I want to talk about
similarities.
This for a moment.
There's similarities.
There's similarities, but it's all. Look at the format for this week. We opened with the Mercedes Moné celebration, and we went into a world heavyweight title match.
Yeah.
With your champion.
No, I don't think it was a world title match, but I'm actually not.
But it's a match with your world champion, nevertheless.
Yeah.
Now, far be it for me to think that there's a hierarchy here in some ways between a WWE style celebration for a run-in. And we had a couple of WWE-like segments tonight. But then to go into your world champion needs to be a special event type of thing, I still think, in many ways. And it's a throwaway Whose House of the Dragon match.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know that there was only four matches on the show tonight? I don't think there's ever been a Dynamite with only four matches. Other than me, I think even the one where they had the 60-minute draw, there was five.
It felt like so many more to me, and that surprised me. Although I didn't look, I loved the main event. The main event was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where it's like, Tony, and this is where, you know, this is where I kind of got lured in, and I say this every time almost, but it's like, oh, he's a student of Mid-South and Watts booking and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but he had still never booked. He had maybe fantasy booked. But he's not a booker per se, and you know he can book the matches, but you still have to have a strong hand guiding the creative in terms of where do you want to take this, and what kind of attitude are we saying, and how do we want them to even wrestle the match a little bit? Because there's a lot of, to me, the Willow Mercedes match needed to feel like both were trying to get revenge on the other, and it just felt like a match to me. And there's the tonal quality sometimes isn't there for matches that you're saying are a big deal. And it's one of those things where I just think he's trying to book 3 to 5 shows a week, and he's overextended, and he has his agents helping him, and he has people who advise him. I get it. I'm not impressed with his level of sophistication in terms of building long-term storylines. This is the same build we had for Double or Nothing. It was like the day after the pay-per-view or the next show after the pay-per-view. Okay, we're going to set up a bunch of qualifier matches.
Yeah,
instead of always having like constantly building a world where there are certain contenders that are moving up and down and cutting promos and saying, I'm coming after you and all these other things.
That's another WWE 2019 thing where, you know, like literally the Raw after whatever pay-per-view was
Battle Royal for the next, you know, contender. It's like, well, why
beat
don't
the
we
clock
just,
match, you know, like
we just
whatever.
Build a contender while we're building this other match at the same time, guys. I mean,
because when Double or Nothing was over, like, I mean, there's a lot of good matches, but I can tell you, like, I don't think there was any obvious contender for any of those belts when the show was over that they had set up. Not that I can think of.
Let me ask you this, because this is a theory I was working on. And I'm not positive of this. I'm not sold on this. But WWE does this a lot less now, and they used to do it a lot. And I've seen AEW do it a lot, and WCW, for me, it was the death of watching their pay-per-views. They are booking to... They don't use pay-per-views to finish angles, really. They use them to then also set up the next angle that will then continue on the next week's free television.
Okay, so you're saying WWE is doing that?
I'm saying AEW is doing that.
Oh, okay. Well, I think...
There's a lot of set up the pay-per-view to get people to watch Dynamite, as opposed to get Dynamite to watch the pay-per-view.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can see. Although, I mean, I just said, like, Double or Nothing. Like, there was nothing on that show other than something that didn't actually happen to make us want to see Dynamite on Wednesday.
There was the turn on Willow.
Yeah, and we didn't get to see Willow tonight.
Right.
there was the MJF return, and we didn't get to see MJF tonight.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm sure there's
We didn't see Adam Cole.
No, and in fact, I think the word came out from Sean Ross Sapp that thing on the pay-per-view was meant to write him off for a while because he's not even close to being ready to return. That's not what I thought watching it. I thought we were kicking off a feud. MJF returned, so thought we'd see him. But I mean, at least they had a video package for him. But I'm sure a lot of people tuned in tonight expecting to see MJF. They did advertise Mercedes, and that was good. I mean, I'm not sure I would have booked the match for tonight. Maybe book that for next week, and maybe get some more viewers to watch next week. But who knows? Maybe she's not booked for next week. I don't know. But yeah, it's kind of weird. And, we're heading into Forbidden Door, and I got a lot of feedback on X because I made a comment because I was talking about Excalibur. I'm not talking about the name of the pay-per-view, Forbidden Door. I understand that that's the branding they use, and it's from the time when, New Japan and AEW weren't working together, and Kenta, I think it was the first one to bash down the Forbidden Door. So yeah, back then, like, that's good branding. But now they work together all the time. I don't know why they're still referring to people walking through the Forbidden Door. I get going on the pay-per-view calling it Forbidden Door. That's fine. But I had people, you don't understand branding. And I got tired and I muted a bunch of people.
Yeah, well, so. I'm somewhat there with you because the whole AEW aura is, basically Tony wants to steal whoever from Japan and bring them over to his company. It would be, to me, it'd be more special without New Japan this year. It would be a lot more special if it was just AEW versus CMLL.
Or, if you maybe went with a different company that you've never worked with before, like TNA. I mean, well, you've worked with TNA.
They had started with the CMLL build, though. Yeah. That was what I was expecting. And I thought it might be a big, but they just did, your usual invasion angles with guys that don't matter. And it's a little disappointing that this, this should feel like when WCW and New Japan had crossover cards.
It's almost like an overload. It's almost like when, you have Raw and SmackDown are separate brands and then you come together at Survivor Series. So that month before Survivor Series, you get all the matches where Raw and SmackDown guys are working together.
They put Tanahashi unannounced on Saturday on Collision.
I know. I was there live. First time I've ever seen him.
Yes, I know you were there live. I'm kind of mad because that might have drawn me to buy a ticket. That might have gotten me to buy a ticket. Exactly.
Yeah. And they didn't
against Jeff Jarrett. Come on, man.
No. And he was a mystery partner. Like, it was crazy. And then people thought, oh, well, he was on Collision. Maybe he'll be on the pay-per-view. And I'm like,
nope.
Nope. And yeah, so there was some really good stuff they did tonight, I thought. And we'll get to it.
It just felt very disjointed and very compact. It's like they were almost trying to cram for a test in ways.
It's very interesting, though, that as we're building to Forbidden Door, the company that had almost what, average wrestling fans might actually look at as being a Forbidden Door happened on NXT, of all places. You had the TNA Knockouts champion showing up, and then you had Ethan Page, who most people probably still think is in AEW, And the announcers even said, I thought he wrestled for eight.
Yes.
Like that, which was pretty smart, honestly.
It was. It was almost like they were trying to do one night angles. Like they had three of them tonight, I think. You know, you had the Mercedes, you had the Orange Cassidy. I thought you had another one. I'm trying to remember. But yeah, it was very interesting.
Prime Day is coming July 16th and 17th with epic deals exclusively for Prime members. You'll feel like you just won an award.
Oh, wow. I didn't even prepare a speech. I'd like to thank my family for always needing stuff. Also, Sam, my delivery guy, for bringing all my awesome deals so fast. You're the man, Sam!
Shop deals on electronics, home, and more this Prime Day, July 16th and 17th.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
All right, let's get into this show.
Yes.
You brought up that we started with the Mercedes Moné Championship Celebration, which we did. Very much a WWE segment. I mean, there's balloons and she was happy. She's a baby face, by the way, now again, even though she was a heel on
thank
Sunday.
Thank you, Paul. You stole my thunder on my point, but go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I was wondering because fans were cheering her, they were chanting CEO. Her promo was kind of heelish. I mean, because she called herself the greatest of all time. She said, Willow, I knew Chris and Stoke were going to screw you over, but I want you back better than ever and kicking their ass. And then she said, I'm not afraid. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say this is even worse because they did the trope that I hate the most.
Which is?
Oh, we tore the house down together. Blah, blah, blah. As opposed to saying it was a hell of a fight between the two of us and I'll kick your ass next time or whatever. It was the we stole the show type of crap. And you're like, what? No. Yeah. Didn't she leave there to not do this kind of stuff? I guess
I hope Willow comes. I hope Willow comes back and says, like, you know, we're not friends and I'm just going to hurt you next time. Like, I want to see Willow say that.
See, I don't think they're going to. I think that'd be terrible, though, because it's just how they also built Chris, Willow and Mercedes the first time. I'm so. And to start this should have been the top of the hour two segment.
Right. Yeah. And then build and then set up
start
the match
with
for next
Swerve.
Week.
Swerve. Whatever you're going to do with your world champion, since he's the most important person on your roster, you bring him out first.
He's like ninth.
Oh, if that.
So anyway, she says we're 4 weeks away from Forbidden Door. And then all of a sudden, Sky Blue shows up on the screen. Sky Blue, who last wrestled on May 1st at the show I was at in Winnipeg. She lost that match. She is 1-4 in her last five AEW matches. Her only win was a jobber match. And she is apparently the one who laid out Mercedes backstage weeks ago.
All right,
and
stop.
She had highlights of it. Okay.
Stop.
All right.
What? On your list of suspects, it makes sense. For that,
she was on the list.
This was a swore. This okay. This
I thought it might have been her and Julia.
Wasn't she out? Never mind. And nevertheless, this is the most This is like
this is like Ethan Page taking credit for attacking.
This is like you know, we had plans for Vince McMahon's son, and we turned it into Hornswoggle. When it was going to be Kennedy originally or whatever,
probably supposed to be Julia Hart, but she got injured. So it had to be. But no, I mean, it should have been Chris Statlander, right?
Yes.
But, yeah. So
because anyway, they literally had her do a promo outside of Mercedes. Oh, so, but Jeff, that was just a MacGuffin that swerved. A red herring. That's the term I was looking for.
So as Mercedes is getting madder and madder, watching Sky Blue on the screen, the dumb baby face gets hit from behind by Sky Blue, who comes out of the crowd, gives her a Samoan drop and holds the belt over her.
Oh, that's the other trope they stole. They stole the Jinder Mahal. Hey, up here.
Yeah. And then Sky Blue posed over Mercedes with her belt. And Tony Schiavone says that Tony Khan has just told me that we're going to have an update on this situation later in the broadcast.
Tony Khan was watching a Sky Blue segment? You don't say.
Yeah. And so get this. I got a number of people that were trying to justify this. And they were saying, oh, well, she's been on Ring of Honor, so she's winning a lot of matches. So someone pinged me in the Discord and asked me, because since they know I watch Ring of Honor, and I was like, she's wrestled once on there, and she beat Rachel Ellery. So, she's not winning matches on Ring of Honor. All right, so earlier today, the Elite arrived, and I think they were in two vehicles, because there's like a scapegoat truck, and the guys were in a limo. And they showed highlights of Double or Nothing, lots of highlights of Double or Nothing. So that was pretty good, if you didn't get the show. And that led into, as you mentioned, the House of Dragon match, which in conjunction with the season premiere of House of Dragon on HBO Max. I think I'm contractually obligated to say that. Swerve Sicklin and Killswitch, of all people.
The closest talent that looks like a dragon.
Yes. Yeah. lots of Who's House chants. Christian and Nick Wayne were nowhere to be found, but Nana was there. Fans were chanting Luchasaurus. Tony Schiavone said there's going to be a big announcement coming later. So Killswitch took like 80% of this match. They went through a commercial break with a nerve hold. Unfortunately, because of some issues with our PVR, I'm not going to get into, but it's part of the reason why we were delayed today. I was forced to watch the picture-in-picture crap, and it was just basically Killswitch holding a nerve hold on him for 3 minutes.
I howled that Taz and Excalibur buried Tony for making an announcement about Tony Khan making a big announcement.
Yep. And there was something else maybe it's later, where there was like a comment like right before they came out of commercial.
But, oh, they were real loosey-goosey tonight.
Yeah, yeah. Swerve was finally got control, but then he stopped to do the Who's House thing, and Killswitch intercepted him and hit a standing moonsault. Swerve hit the house call, and then he starts to go up to the top, and the fans are like reacting. Like, that move is over, like when he's about to do the Swerve stomp. But then I hate that the guy has to just stand there and wait for it. And so he hits the Swerve stomp, and 1, 2, and Excalibur even said 3. Freaking Luchasaurus kicks out of the Swerve stomp. I'm like, why? And then Swerve just hit him with the last call and pinned him anyways.
Like, I hate that spot in Japan. I hate it here. And I hate that they used Luchasaurus to kick out of the guy's finisher.
Anyone else, if it was someone with any credibility.
No.
Kyle O'Reilly.
Main eventers only should be kicking. You save the kick out to the finisher for a guy who's special and probably the guy who's taking the title off of Swerve. That's where I would use it.
Yeah. Bobby points out.
No, I get that. And I know
this is blasphemy to a lot of people, but Swerve is good. Doesn't feel special at all to me. I agree, and I think it's his presentation.
I think the character's inconsistent.
Yeah, but
because they're also trying to go back to heelish Swerve at times, where he's like, you know, he's still, you know, the evil guy with the grill.
Yeah. And honestly, it's because of the way that they don't treat him as the most important thing on the show. Not even close.
Yes.
So, on this very show, you had Jon Moxley telling everyone he was the best in the world. And he more proved it than Swerve did, in my opinion. So, I don't know.
I don't mind Moxley saying he's the best in the world, but if I'm Swerve and in the building, I'm walking up to him going, what do you mean you say you're the best in the world? You know, that kind of stuff. It's one of those things where, in a studio wrestling environment, you can get away with saying you think you're the best in the world, but then the champ comes on and proves that he's the best in the world.
Here we got like 9 guys with belts that all say they're the best in the world, and some that don't have belts that are also saying they're the best in the world. Mm-hmm. All right. So here we got the announcement. Shivani says Mercedes defending against Sky Blue tonight. So screw the rankings. Just attack the champ and you get a title shot immediately. Moxley promo. He calls Ozakar, which is Rocky Romero, one of the most dangerous guys in the game. You know, my buddy that I went to Dynamite with, one of his main complaints about AEW, why do I see Rocky Romero on my screen every week when they have the most deepest roster in wrestling history, I'm told?
But they do this. They do that. Guys will get 3 and 4 week runs, and they're people that, and they never win a match. They do this all the time with Red Velvet. They'll bring Red Velvet in for like 4 matches in a row. Anna Jay will get like matches, like 3 matches a week, just to lose most of them, type of a thing. And it's baffling. I don't even think, is Rocky officially All Elite? I know he works in the office, but is
it doesn't matter. He has to be. Chris Daniels All Elite?
Your point stands. Nobody thinks Rocky Romero's going to win this match. Just have him in the just have him in the ring. Intro. Why are we giving him an intro?
I don't know. Not only an intro. Moxley's cutting a promo, putting him over. He said, it's not smart for him to take this match as a one-armed man, but I'm never 100%. It's just what champions do. They show up and get in the ring. They're not pissing away at Disney World. Is there a champion that didn't show up that was at Disney World? Because there's 2 different references to Disney World on the show today. I'm assuming it's some reference I didn't get.
But, I think they may be taking shots at Cody.
Oh, okay. He says, I'm going to be at Bloodsport, and then I'm going to be at whatever New Japan show he's defending the title against Evil at, Dominion, and then Forbidden Door. 5 years from now, I'll still be the man who stands at the top, or 5 years in, I'm the man who stands at the top of New Japan Pro Wrestling, All Elite Wrestling, and anywhere else I want to go. It's a good promo. You know, even
he's one of the most compelling promos in the company, so yes.
Absolutely. Next, we got a segment that I was dreading from the second you told me it was happening. TV time with Chris Jericho. Oh, my God. This segment was so much worse than I was expecting it to be. The only redeeming thing was Samoa Joe at the end. But, oh, my God, this was awful.
Now, I have to raise this question. It's awful on purpose, though, right?
Yeah, but the fans are rejecting it.
It's ironic, you know. Oh, yeah. Vince McMahon wanted to be Johnny Carson for 20 years, so he lets guys do talk shows, and that's the greatest gift you can give anybody. So Jericho's going to do a wink, wink, nudge, nudge about, you know, and also address the complaint that he gets too much TV time.
Yeah, the idea behind this, I get it, and it was funny in a way, but the execution was
was piss poor from every part of production, including Excalibur. Cutting to highlight packages that weren't there.
And Jericho doing the like, I mean, it was funny the first time. And the fans are just like, they're rejecting these segments now. And I
don't know. I think the problem for me is Jericho's oblivious, or not oblivious, because of the obliviousness is the problem. He can be a fake baby face up until the point he's presented with a problem, and he can laugh it off maybe once, but then he has to realize I'm in danger here or something to that effect and kick into the scene and yes and the scene instead of saying no, I'm still this baby face character and I can do whatever.
So Big Bill introduced him, and Jericho comes out and he says, who wants more TV time? You know I do. And then Bill says, even though the leaves come down in the fall, they come back in the spring stronger and brighter. And this was the first of many, many expressions that they said.
I liked this, Paul. I don't know, man. Okay. There's a certain Toru Yano-esque-ness about this, but it's all commentary about being a sports entertainer in WWE. Okay. Because he has the t-shirt now.
Yep.
He's calling his fans branches.
Yep. He claims this is the number one selling t-shirt on AEWshop.com. If that's true, I've lost all faith in humanity. I really hope that's a lie.
You need to stop this.
He teased throwing it out to the crowd, and who wants a shirt? Who wants? And then he just puts it on the ring.
He sure said, "Go buy one." But yeah,
yes. I had that line written down.
I did too. I was waiting for the line. Yeah. It didn't come, unfortunately.
Calls the fans his branches, as you said. He's the longest reigning for the world champion in history at 39 days. And then my head still smarts. I wrote down he's getting no reaction to his dumb jokes. If adversity is ice cream, always put a cherry on top.
Okay. I need to defend this, though, Paul. I do, because I think he's trying to get booed. And yeah, they're not reacting, but they're not reacting because they're enjoying the irony of it, because they've been this is an audience that has been raised on being the elite.
Are you sure they're not reacting because they just want this thing to be over?
It could be a little column A and column B. Don't get me wrong. I'm not dismissing this, but I am giving
like the heat, like actual boos.
Yes, it would be great. It would be phenomenal.
But he's not.
But this crowd is so used to this kind of wink, wink, nudge, nudge stuff, because we had two other characters doing it.
Listen to the reaction that we got from the Bucks and Okada. That's what Jericho was going for, and he didn't get it.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know who did get it, though? Brian Keith.
Well, yeah, but I think that was more like that was X-Pac heat.
I'm going to defend Brian Keith to the death here.
Well, so I transcribed what he said. So he said, show some respect, and he's all going nuts. And then he said, I respect Brian Keith because he went out and grabbed it. Oh, no, sorry. Wait a minute. Where are we here? Okay, sorry. I skipped ahead. Many are called, but few answer. Many talk the talk, but few walk the walk. And then he brings out Brian Keith. Let's hear it for Brian. And nobody reacted. And he said, what made you want to get sucked into the Jericho vortex? And Brian says, Chris, I noticed a lack of respect for you here in AEW. You're an 8-time world champion. You've been in this business for over 30 years, and you're the longest reigning FTW champ in history. Near Taz was like, that's not true. And then Excalibur says, well, no, the For the World title. They should just shut up and let them speak. But he says, honestly, I can't believe more people didn't jump at the opportunity. Fans are chanting, shut the fuck up. And then Brian Keith, see, this is what I'm talking about, this disrespect. Jericho tells them to watch their language. That was funny.
Yeah, they told him to shut the F up, and Jericho, hey, this is a family show.
So, yeah, watch your language. And then Keith says, this is what I'm talking about. You're lucky to breathe the air that he is. Show some respect. And he's just going off. And then Jericho said, I respect you because you saw that brass ring and you went out to grab him. Big Bill says, the apple doesn't fall from the tree, and he's a bad apple. I guess that's going to be his new name, the bad apple Brian Keith, which I don't know if that's any better or worse than the bounty hunter. But the bad apple doesn't fall far from the learning tree. And that was bad. Now, what did you want to say about Brian Keith?
He has chops on the mic. Why did we bring him in with the bounty hunter gimmick and let him talk his way into being a bounty hunter? I thought this dude took control of the scene. He didn't get rattled when the crowd turned on him. I don't care if he gets X-Pac heat. He's getting some heat, and I'm cool with that.
Got more heat than anyone else in the ring.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, don't make him a red shirt necessarily. I mean, the bad apple gimmick's going to be death for him because he's the red shirt on the learning tree.
He's going to be the one to take the pins.
He's going to be the one to take the pins. That's what I mean. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
But for a guy that they had given no real promo time to, and to come out there it might be a bad character, but he nailed it. So
can I ask you to make a prediction?
Oh, I think this lasts like a month. He gets turned on probably by
when this is over. Is he in a better or worse or the same position than he was in before it started?
I don't know, because I don't know what he's going to do in this.
How are Daddy Magic and Angelo Parker doing these days?
No, but I'm not going to compare them to him. I'm going to compare him to Daniel Garcia.
Okay.
He's in that position right now where he's in Jericho vortex. And I hated what they did with Daniel Garcia with the dancing stuff, but it's gotten him over.
Got him over, yeah. No, I'm glad to see they're doing something with Brian Keith. Don't get me wrong. I am. And he did well tonight. It's not his fault the crowd rejected him. It wasn't his performance.
The crowd was supposed to reject him. I'm cool with that.
I compare it kind of to oh shoot, what was it? I had it in my head and then I lost it. Oh, when Serena Deeb came out and cut that really good promo and the crowd rejected her. That was kind of like what this was, but the segment wasn't over, by the way. Hook's music broke it up. Security runs out to stop him and he starts suplexing him and clotheslines him. And then Samoa Joe appeared out of nowhere.
Magically appears in a Hawaiian shirt.
I have no idea. He's a little too big to be wearing floral patterns. I have no idea where he came from. He was just there.
He just
magically appeared.
Somebody looked in a mirror and said Samoa Joe three times, and he appeared in the front row for some reason.
So he whispers something in Hook's ear, and then he walks away, and then Hook turned around and followed him. And that was that. And Jericho just kind of stared and watched them leave. And I'm all here for a Hook and Samoa Joe pairing. That was the only good thing about this segment, I thought. I guess Brian Keith was.
I'd much rather have the two of them pairing than having Shibata with them breaking up
them. For that matter.
Well, look, yeah, Jericho's a problem, but Shibata, they're gonna cut some hot, intense promos between Joe and Hook.
Shibata's 3 to 4 weeks.
And then Shibata will break the tension with, you know, you look very nice today on the phone. And I'm just like, okay, no, that's not what I want. But
his 3 to 4 week run that you were talking about earlier is probably done. So we won't see him for a couple months.
I would love for Joe and Hook to run through these guys like a hot knife through butter, but Jericho's going to get his time.
They'll probably beat Brian Keith, and then they'll beat Big Bill, and then they'll lose to Jericho. All right.
Yes.
We got, honestly, like, this was one of my favorite things on the show because they never do it. A video package introducing the AEW audience to Stephanie Vaquer.
This was great.
I mean, unbelievable. Like, the video package itself was fine. It's not the content of the video package. They freaking told you about somebody that you may not know about. They showed highlights of her. They told you she was a champion and that she's coming to AEW. This was perfect. And then it set up what they were going to do later on in the show with her.
Although this is the third one I was saying. They did the teaser video package and then she's there. It's like, huh.
Well, I'd rather they did that than just have her show up and assume everyone knows who she is.
No, you're correct on that. This was a fantastic video package of her.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Then we got Jon Moxley and Rocky Romero. I didn't write down much. This was when I was having my issues with my daughter. But Rocky Romero attacked him for the bell, went after his arm. I wouldn't say 50-50. Moxley probably took most of the match, but Rocky did get a lot of offense in. The match was nothing. Moxley hit a Death Rider for the win. That was it. I think it went like 11 minutes.
Yeah, Rocky got less offense than Killswitch, at least. But,
way less offense. Yeah.
But he's supposed to. Moxley, again, it's one of those things where it's like, let Moxley kill this guy.
On the New Japan totem pole, Rocky is like a mid-carder in the junior division, and Moxley's a heavyweight champion. I mean, this shouldn't be competitive. That happened. They go back, and Remarkable Renee Paquette is with Hook, and she's standing there, and Hook and Joe are talking behind her, so she wants to get a word with them, and Joe says, tonight, they learned their first lesson. We don't exist on their time. Truly dangerous men exist on our own time. Joe is awesome.
Joe's the man.
Yeah.
Although Taz going, I don't know what's going on. It's like, shut up, Taz. Let him be badasses for a second.
I don't understand a word he says, and I don't care. He's awesome when he says it. Don Callis comes out. He's got great heat. He's got a contract to work for his family. Says, one of the great pleasures in my life is to be able to scout a talent like Orange Cassidy. When I see Orange, I see myself. You're pretty Orange, Don. Orange out and back. Oh, yeah, Orange is out and he's back to his old music, which was his new music, which was his old music. And Callis is there rocking out to Jane. So on the pay-per-view, he did the Pixies music, but here it was Jane.
Yes.
He said, this is the moment the world has been waiting for. I feel like maybe I should do it like this, Orange. You're truly an iconic performer in this industry. You truly are a star wherever you go. You've been confused with some bad choices, but now I'm here to work with you. It's my pleasure to welcome you with this contract to be part of the Don Callis family. And Orange, I already filled it out for you. And Orange grabs the contract and he ripped it up. And Taz said, I thought he was going to sign. And Tony Schiavone says, you know, I had to look to see how much he was offered before I signed it. That was funny. Fans are chanting, freshly squeezed. Orange Cassidy says, hey, Don, no. And then Callis says, who do you think you're talking to? No one says no to me. What are you going to do about it? Cassidy takes off his glasses, and out comes Stokely Hathaway and Chris Statlander. And Stokely says, as AEW's number one hater, I don't like you. The way you walk, the way you talk, nothing about you I like. You're just like Willow Nightingale. The only reason I came out here is because of her, points to Chris Statlander. And then she says, on behalf of my best friend, I'm so happy to announce that he accepts your invitation to join the Callis family. And go back to the ring, and there's Trent. He's all dressed up to the nines, and he attacks Orange Cassidy from behind. Beats him up, bloodies him. Then he does the best friend's hug with Don Callis, and the camera did the zooming out. And Callis had his foot on Orange Cassidy while they did that, and the fans are chanting, "You sold out." And I thought it was a good segment. Good angle. Predictable, but good.
I did enjoy Orange Cassidy ripping the contract up in slow motion. Nice touch.
I think he's just too weak to...
I think there's two problems with this. One is that Don Callis is a bad manager in terms of they all, when he's supposed to be out there managing, he's always on commentary. And then when they put him in these segments, he gets huge heat, but he's not really involved in any angle. So none of it really
transfers to his wrestlers.
Correct. Yeah. That's the other problem. And the other problem is Trent. Who I have long criticized, and I'm going to criticize again, because as a heel, other than, you know, the occasional tearing off the turnbuckle pad, he doesn't change his offense any to be a heel. It's still Trent wrestling as Trent Beretta, and he's not a great promo. He's not an imposing man necessarily. And he's not a particularly evil man. So we need to make some changes to the character if he's going to get over in this heel character. Otherwise, he's just Trent Beretta in a suit acting cranky. And I don't think that's an interesting choice. The more interesting choice is Orange Cassidy as a heel, which makes this whole angle...
Or as a babyface that Callis is managing, like Will Ospreay.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. Because it looked almost like Callis might be porting over to being a babyface manager with him. So it's
Jason and Bobby in the chat both point out that Trent's lost twice to Orange Cassidy. Which,
yes.
Why is Callis signing him then?
Wins and losses don't matter.
Well, this is true. Unfortunately, you're right. So Excalibur points out Collision's going to be back on TNT this Saturday after being on TBS last week. They didn't announce any matches at first, and then they said, oh, Will Ospreay is defending his international title against Kyle O'Reilly. It's a busy guy, that Will.
Yes, as is Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah, Will, Kyle O'Reilly's getting a title shot, even though he lost two title matches in the last month. Yes. He's the new, who's that guy?
Blue. Oh,
A.R. Fox.
A.R. Fox, yes.
Yeah. Reneo's backstage with... ironically enough, Daniel Garcia and Daddy Magic. Garcia keeps looking over his shoulder, and she asks him what's going on. He says, well, this place is full of blood-hungry killers, and I love it. I get stuck in my head and trudging through the mud. Some people have so much confidence, they get the red carpet rolled out. But it's time to take these boots and go straight through to the international title. I'm going to climb these rankings and take your international title, Will Ospreay, respectfully. This poor bloke.
These rankings? Okay.
There's no rankings anymore. And I mean, we just saw Kyle O'Reilly get a title shot gifted to him.
Yes. I thought he was about to attack Daddy Magic.
Well, I don't know why Daddy Magic was even there.
I think he's the de facto mouthpiece of
except he didn't speak.
Exactly.
Okay. And I guess he's a manager? I don't know.
He's a broadcaster / hype man.
Yeah. Who didn't do any hype this week.
No, and
this
and
was a bizarre segment, though.
I know Wheeler Yuta's ready to come back. Can we just put Daniel Garcia in the Blackpool Combat Club and be on our way?
Just erase, do the mind melt.
Just
thing
let's try it. Let's see how it would have happened if Jericho didn't have his druthers.
Yeah, it was weird. And I mean,
had three gimmicks since the Jericho Appreciation Society.
When this was over, my immediate thought was, okay, the match of Forbidden Door for the international title is going to be Will Ospreay and Daniel Garcia. Okay, I'm cool with that.
I was cool with that too.
Build for that too.
Yeah,
that's not happening.
Nope.
Spoiler alert. All right. Yeah. I don't know.
It'll happen on next week's Rampage, probably.
Probably, yeah. You know, you're right. I shouldn't have got... okay, TBS title match.
Wait, hold on. Hold on, back up, because I was correct about something, and Trisha tells me I'm never correct. What was I correct about?
You're correct that it's probably going to be on next week's Rampage.
Oh, never mind. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know, but...
I thought you were about to say about the Jericho thing. It was better than I thought.
No. TBS title match, Mercedes Moné and Sky Blue. I wrote down, Sky Blue's getting a shot after losing three of her four last matches. Sky took most of this match. The crowd was dead for most of it, which surprised me. I thought they'd be really into Mercedes.
I thought they'd give Mercedes somebody more veteran to work with, given that she's had a certain injury issue.
I think her idea is she's going to elevate everybody.
Oh, is she pulling the Bailey?
I think so. So okay. Sky tried some sort of weird move with a full Nelson, and it was completely botched. And then she ended up getting a two off of that. She hit a thrust kick and went for a code blue, but Mercedes reversed that and hit her moneymaker and got the win. This went through a break.
Is still a fantastic wrestler.
Yeah, it was good. It was fine.
And presence. Her promos leave a lot to be desired for me. I thought she'd be more free.
Yeah.
Getting out of the system, but she's a system quarterback when it comes to
promos. And she's got a writer for her that came from that system. So,
and yeah, Jen Pepperman seems to be a system writer, which is also disappointing to me because I know that as a writer, former writer, I'm looking and I'm just like chomping at the bit to just do something.
There were three singles match on this show and they were all pretty much exactly the same.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the other person got way too much offense against the title holders. It was just ridiculous. Yeah.
But whatever. I guess we got to see Mercedes wrestle.
We can't build stars because it's just like, hey, hey, hey.
So as Mercedes is celebrating, some weird music hits. I think, is this where Taz said, who the hell is that? Or was that during the gauntlet?
That was during the gauntlet, I think.
Okay. But Stephanie Vaquer shows up and she's got a title belt. Excalibur immediately told us it's the NJPW Strong Women's Championship. They both held their belts up and I assume that's going to be at Forbidden Door. Cool, and that belt was created for Mercedes, by the way. Tony better practice what he preaches, and Stephanie Vaquer is not on a show with Roosh. Yeah, well, he was there tonight, but it was just a backstage promo. So,
been thinking about this, Paul, and I know this goes to my biases in some ways of wrestlers that I've liked in the past. Sasha, I always want to call her Sasha. Mercedes really wants a match with Tessa. Do you think it ever happens in AEW?
What? Does what ever happen? Sasha.
Tessa versus Mercedes. Or is that a CMLL special? Because Tony won't want to touch her.
I can't remember which company she works for.
No, she works for CMLL.
Oh, yeah, I would do that. Why not?
But in AEW or just in CMLL?
Either or.
I don't think she ever makes it.
I think like people have overreacted to her and I think she deserves another chance.
People have long memories and they never forgive.
I guess. I thought this was good, and I mean obviously that's gonna be the Forbidden Door match, and I was perfectly fine with this.
I agree, Jason. I think that's gonna be a CMLL match. I think Mercedes will go to CMLL and fight Tessa, and I think
that'll be a great match.
No, it's going to be a great match, but man, that's money on the table for an American promotion.
It is.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Get an 11% rebate at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust custom 5-in-1 spray paint lets you choose from 5 spray patterns with a twist of the dial. It protects indoor and outdoor metal and wood projects for long-lasting results and is available in more than 40 colors. Get started in your painting project at Menards, number one in customer satisfaction, among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Save big money at Menards.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app. Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor Super Drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Renee Paquette was outside the trainer's room looking for an update on Orange Cassidy, and Stokely and Chris showed up. Willow Nightingale, you never cease to amaze me. Imagine being 30 and thinking Disney World is a magical place or that the world is wonderful. And you wanted to know when this happened. Four-way match on March 27th, the TBS title, your best friend, and she desperately wanted to become TV champion again. I'll always listen to her. I'll always be a shoulder to cry on. She's a former TBS champion, the best in the world. Most of these bitches backstage get a sinus infection and don't show up to work. Here's the new and improved Chris Statlander. Promo was fine. I'm not sure about the optics of Stokely calling women bitches on TV, but
he didn't. He said, and I haven't even gotten to the women's locker room yet.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. My bad. They had a bug up their ass about something tonight. I'm not exactly sure what, but
somebody called in sick that wasn't supposed to call in sick.
And then posted pictures on Instagram from Disney World. So Chris Statlander said, I did something for myself for once and I got booed for it. This is why I made the change I did. You don't care about us. You only care about me. Only that I'm the bodyguard for all the selfish, spineless people. I don't blame them. I'm more than a woman. I'm done being the protector. You're all going to need protection from me. This is a good promo. She delivered it way better than I.
Promo of her life. This is the best promo I've seen from her.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or heard about from her. This was fantastic.
Yeah.
And I've buried her for her promo ability before. So, again, she is now in the best friend's hierarchy, surpassed Trent, who can't cut a promo to save his life.
So she's under Orange now?
Orange only has to say one word and it's over. But yes, this was a fantastic. This made me want to see more of Chris Statlander, which I mean, look, the alien thing, and I always kind of balked at. Yes, Paul Boop. but I always balked at, you know, the praise she got for some of those. She made her bones on the indie scene doing intergender matches, really, with like the Brian Cages of the world, etc. And it always kind of, you know, I'm not the biggest intergender wrestling fan in the world, but it also kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But it was like she get a chance to do the promo. She was doing the fan service and it was great, but she needed to cut like that rah rah type of promo. And I didn't think she was mean enough to be a heel, but I really liked this a lot.
She was mean here. And she didn't believed have everything a lot
she
of them. Said.
She didn't have any weird makeup. She didn't have a weird costume on. She was Chris Statlander, the bitch who turned on Willow, and I loved it. Yeah. I loved this promo.
Did I? I didn't mention earlier. I was playing first night I was there. I sit down to play blackjack, and there's a guy that worked for AEW at the table, and who should show up at my table but Austin and Colton Gunn?
Right.
Austin Gunn is a freaking maniac in real life. You know how they say, like, you take your real life and turn it up to 10 when you're on screen?
Yes.
I think his real life is his on-screen character turned up to 10. Like, he is a maniac. Colton is pretty subdued and just sitting there playing blackjack. But Austin just kept taking all his money and he'd run and go to the
rush. He wants the rush.
He'd go to the roulette
gambling
table and throw it all on black.
What?
And yeah.
Throw so it on a dozen.
As they're there, Chris Statlander wanders by, and she's there, and I was surprised at how short she is. Like, she's shorter than me. She looks like a monster on TV, but anyways. my little story. I saw a lot of wrestlers because I was in the same hotel as they were. All right, that was that. We got a video package for MJF's return. There was a woman whose voice I didn't recognize doing the narration. She was really good. She just hyping up MJF through this whole thing.
Hold on, we didn't talk about that when we went over the show. MJF promo.
Yeah,
was everything I wanted in professional wrestling right up until the point he showed that tattoo.
When he's talking about
hate, and this is what that was. It's like, has he been listening to a show I do or whatever? Kangaroo kicks, no more of the funny stuff. I'm like, yes, I'm cheering. I'm like, God, this is great.
There was one thing before the tattoo, the donkey dicks.
Yes.
Yeah. So he got the
fancy. But the tattoo took me out of it. Like, you got a tattoo of your employer. Oh,
you know what's funny is he did the bet on yourself line. And
that happened three times that night because
Cody was part of Mercedes promo too. Cody did an interview on with Corey Graves on the pre-show to King and Queen of the Ring, and he used the bet on yourself line. And then Mercedes and MJF used it the next day.
There was a lot of liberal stealing from each other over the weekend.
I bet you that they didn't see that Cody promo. I could be wrong.
I bet you that Tony Khan had planned to have the winners of the Heart tournament have title matches at All Out.
I can tell you that I heard about that a month ago. So way before Triple H made his announcement, I heard that, although I heard it slightly differently, than how it ended up, but they were going to be a tournament and the winners were going to get title shots at All In.
Yeah.
I heard that like a month ago,
but I love that MJF promo up until the tattoo. Yeah. I mean, I was pumping my fist going, I love wrestling.
Yeah. It was a great promo. So this woman was great. This promo was very much a tweener. Like, he was babyface at times, a heel at times. She's putting him over. She says, youngest world champion in AEW history, defended the title a record-setting 10 times against 6 former world champions, 406-day title reign, another record. The only pro wrestler to hold the AEW and ROH tag team championships at the same time. The winner of the longest match in AEW history, defeating the legendary Bryan Danielson, five-time and only winner of the ring, and a headliner of the largest attended event in wrestling history, and he is not fucking leaving. This was a great promo.
Yes, and kudos to whoever the voiceover artist was.
Yeah, she was awesome. Like, it was done kind of like the way Justin Roberts does the Kenny Omega intros.
It was like a movie trailer promo.
Yes. But it was over the top, which, I mean, I think he works best when he's over the top, and I think he's going to be a tweener. Like, I think, you know, he'll go after babyface's heels. He's very much Stone Cold, you know, in a way, was the vibes I got. I know a lot of people compared him to Triple H. I saw Stone Cold there. So
very much. But
don't trust anyone.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that we don't get Stone Cold MJF, and I'm hoping we don't get, you know, I'm your scumbag thing. Just have him be a jerk again.
Yeah. Yeah. Shoot a work tattoo. I think it was a worked tattoo, but I guess if it's a shoot one, he can just get he can draw an arrow through it when he signs with WWE.
I think, you know, the boots cover it, so you'll never see it while he's working.
True. All right. The Elite were out next to address the TNT title situation. Okada's got a mic. Okada was wonderful. He says, shut up, bitches. And then the fans start chanting for him. And he's got this goofy look on his face. Jack Perry grabs a mic and he says, first things first, the Elite run this shit. Tony Khan and Kenny Omega handpicked their dream team. It even set me on fire. But not only did we win at Anarchy in the Arena, my first match in 9 months, but I took a piece of the dragon when I pinned Bryan Danielson. That was the right call, by the way, to have him beat Bryan Danielson.
Yes.
He needed it more than anybody, and they can do a singles match off of that. Nick grabs a mic. He says, what a fantastic week it's been for the Elite. On Monday, we released the Reebok Pump, and it became the hottest-selling Reebok shoe in multiple years. That performance on Sunday by these two, they're unbelievable. So we came out here bearing gifts. Just a small gift, Okada, and they go to the video screen, and up pulls up a Lamborghini with custom-made Raymaker plates, and Okada is just over the moon. He's like, oh my God, he says, and then he's in tears. Is this a dream? And then Nick leads them in You Deserve It chants, and the fans are chanting along, and he goes, thank you, I love you guys. And then he's got gets this weird look on his face, like that, and they focused on it. I was like, he's so good. Like, I don't know.
He's crying at the gas prices in Los Angeles.
Well, I'm really certain of it. Yeah. So Matt says, on to business. He says, at Double or Nothing during the TNT title match, Adam Copeland was badly injured. He said, that's on me. He said, right before the match, I wished Adam good luck, and I said, break a leg, and I guess I jinxed you, and I'm sorry. But we're praying for you, and we're thinking of you, and I'm sorry, man, but that just sucks. And he says, as EVPs, we have to make the tough decisions. So Adam Copeland, tonight, you're hereby stripped of the TNT title. But the network, they're getting all on our case, and they say we need a new champion, and we got just the guy. So Jack Perry's got this shit-eating grin on his face, and he says, after the biggest pinfall victory of his entire career, I present to you the new TNT world champion, the scapegoat, Jack Perry. And then all of a sudden we hear, wait just a minute, Matthew, Nicholas, the last time we spoke. Am I the only one that had no idea whose voice that was?
I had no idea either.
Okay. I knew it wasn't Tony Khan, but luckily they showed him, and it was Chris Daniels. And he says, last time we talked, you spoke about our severance package. But I got a brand new job now. Christopher Daniels, the interim executive VP. When I make an announcement, it's coming directly from Tony Khan. Pause. Good news about this, no more Tony Khan announcements. Bad news, we got feuding GMs.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
We need to get the guy who looks most like Adam Pearce to be Adam Pearce on this show.
Yeah. So he says, young man, or they're going, CD, CD. And he's like, young man, don't you disrespect me. You call me by my God-given name, Christopher. And he says, we're not giving this away. This is AEW. We're the best wrestler. And if you want to be champ, you've got to earn it. So over the next few weeks, we're going to have multiple qualifying matches. God. And he goes on to describe these matches. And it's basically the Continental title rules. But he has to, you know, no seconds, no interference. I can't remember what else he said, but it was all the Continental title rules. And he says, the winners of these matches are going to wrestle for the vacant TNT title in a ladder match. And the first qualifying match is going to happen on, and I quote, Friday Night Dynamite in the best town I've ever been in, Los Angeles, California. Friday night is not Dynamite. I'm not exactly sure why he called it Dynamite. I think he's been in with this company for 5 years. He should know. I mean, they're recording the match probably right now. But that
he
was a
probably knows that they're recording the match tonight, and so he did the when it's going to air plus the name of that show. I think
Tony Khan was screaming in his ear the whole time, and he's trying to get these words out because he said a lot. It was not quite Excalibur doing his rundown at the end, but it wasn't far off of that when he was going over the rules of this qualifying thing.
And the sad thing is, Chris is a member of the guild, man. He's an actor. He knows what to do.
Oh, yeah. Give him a script. But no, they don't do scripts in AEW.
I think Perry is probably going to win this title.
Well, he'd be in it for sure.
But, and I should have seen this coming. But I thought a better idea would be, let's just have Okada and Ospreay take their two titles. We take a couple of these dumb titles off the board, and we have them fight for the TNT title.
Yeah, they could have done that, but they didn't. I thought they might give it to Christian, you know, as just because he was the last guy to hold it.
That would have been fun too. I was hoping for Jeff Jarrett, to be honest with you.
Oh yeah, no.
Maybe as payment for the beatdown, but
he'll be in one of these qualifying matches, I'm sure.
I'm here for it.
Yep. So Matthew says, we're happy you're back, and let's show them how happy we are. And they're about to attack him, but who should make the save for Christopher Daniels but the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass?
Yes.
And so those two four-man teams square off, and they cut to commercial. It's like, what? Like, I assume they're booking a match between these eight at some point, but that was
No, I think it's just going to be six. I think one of the guys isn't going to be in there, but it's probably going to be either Perry and the Bucks or Okada and the Bucks versus the Acclaimed.
The Acclaimed and Daddy Ass.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I consider Daddy Ass part of the Acclaimed.
I could see that, yeah. And young Max Caster can take the pin because he's, I think he's on their shit list right now. So we go backstage and Swerve is there with Nana. And Nana says, you might as well be Stevie Wonder because no one can see you in that ring. Isn't it the other way around? Isn't Stevie Wonder the one that can't see? I don't know. I was lost. And then they're doing the you can't see me thing. And it's like, okay. And then Swerve says, I took down a legend in Christian Cage. And this track, I had to get my lick back and give Killswitch a kill shot. So that's why he took his hair. And he says, you want to take my title? I'll take your hair. I'm curious to see who my next challenger is going to be. He's looking at the list and he says, oh, there's some surprises, some former champs, some current champs. Who's going to be the next contender against Swerve for the AEW World Championship? I'll be watching. And here they announce that MJF's going to return on Dynamite. And before we go to the main event, Excalibur says, we're going to hear from Roosh. And Roosh is there and he says, MJF, congratulations on your return to AEW. You're a star here. I am. Just remember, if you mess with the bull, you get the horns. What a waste of time that was. I have no idea what the point of that was, but I guess he's going to confront MJF.
Are we going to beat Roosh when he's on the run? No. No.
Wow. We're not going to beat
don't
MJF?
Don't beat Roosh.
We're not going to beat MJF. So, I don't know.
Beat MJF. I want Roosh.
All right. And we got the Casino Gauntlet match. And just like the last one, we started with Jay White. But this time, instead of whoever Jay White faced last time, it was Pac this time.
I believe Will Ospreay was also fourth in that other one.
Yeah, I think you're right. So they start out with those two. Then Mystico was out next. Big pop for him. What the hell is that noise? Hear that?
No, I have a helicopter flying around me. That might be.
No, this is really loud.
Oh.
Hang on. Give me a second. I'm going to go fix this. I'm going to mute my camera.
Well, so we had Jay White. We had Pac. Third was somebody in the chat reminded me because he's the one with the notes. I'm trying to remember because fourth was Will Ospreay. Third was...
I'm back. Sorry. Okay.
Never mind.
Yeah, no, that was really annoying.
Who was third in this gauntlet match?
Oh, Mystico.
Mystico.
And fans went nuts for him, and him and Will were doing spots together. That was cool. Yeah, Will Ospreay was out next. Yeah, and that's when they got the Will and Mystico spots. The Roughneck Shooter, Shota Umino, 8 million nicknames. He was out next.
They put Roughneck up there, and I thought Mr. Hughes was in the building.
Well, and I had gotten spoiled and heard that Leo Rush was going to be in here later, and I thought maybe he was a Roughneck, but no, it was Shooter. Fans loved him. They were chanting Shooter, and they were quiet at the beginning of this, but they really picked up as the match went on. Claudio was out next, and Jay White just kept running away from him. He was terrified. I think he knew that he was going to be the one to get that freaking spin, and he didn't want it. Shooter tried a quick roll up. Claudio totally missed an uppercut, but Shooter sold it anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Crowd started to quiet down again, and then they picked up when Claudio swung Jay White. They went another commercial. Leo Rush was out next. This is where Taz said, who the hell is that?
Leo's local. No. But he's right. He didn't recognize the Titantron. They call it. They didn't recognize the video. Leo Rush is in Los Angeles, so that.
Well, they pointed out, Excalibur said he's been competing in New Japan Pro Wrestling of late. Watch New Japan. He is not.
He's on New Japan Strong. Or he
occasionally.
Has been.
Occasionally. I think he was on the last pay-per-view.
Look, if this can heal some wounds from the last run of Leo Rush, I'm all for it.
I love Leo Rush.
Yes.
Someone messaged me and said Leo Rush LOL, and I'm like, fuck you, hell, Leo Rush. Like,
Leo Rush is fantastic.
Love Leo Rush. Orange Cassidy is out next. He was all bandaged up. I have no idea why he was in this match after that beatdown from Trent later.
Well, because someone had a sinus infection and someone went to Disney World, I think.
Probably, but is there no one else there? Like, where's John Silver? Send him out. And he came out to the Pixies. Like, after he came out to Jane earlier in the night, there's some deep storytelling, apparently.
Well, when he's in a mood to fight, he's lost his mind. Okay. When he's being slothful, he is coming out to Jane.
Maybe he should come out to Pixies every time then. He hit a Slumdog Millionaire on Claudio in a DDT, but then he kipped up and he all of a sudden getting woozy. Ospreay was going to hit him with the Hidden Blade, but he wouldn't do it. White suplex Will right on his head. I hate when Will does that. I mean, he never gets hurt, but it still bugs me. And then there's a bunch of stuff going on. He tried to pin Orange Cassidy. Flying elbow on Will. Mystico did a dive. Oh, Hechicero was in there.
Hechicero is awesome.
Oh, he's great. And him and Will Ospreay, I can't wait to see a single
that
match.
That dude has stolen every match he's been in AEW. Because remember he had the Danielson stuff in the six-man or whatever when they fought the Blackpool Combat Club? That dude is... Make him your luchador in this company. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. What did I write down? Leo vibes on his. I have no idea what that means. Okay. Mystico took down Claudio. Springboard ran to the outside on Claudio. I think that was everybody. Shooter went for a high knee, and he went for a paradigm shift. Orange Cassidy hit an orange punch. Rolls up Pac for two. Pac super kick. Jay White went for a blade runner. Boot to head by Pac. Spiral tap, but... Jay White interfered. Orange went for the orange punch. Sleeper suplex by Jay White. Will hit a hidden blade on Jay. Went for a Stormbreaker, but Orange Cassidy reversed it. And then Will hit an Os Cutter on Orange Cassidy, and he pinned Orange Cassidy. So we are getting Will Ospreay and Swerve Strickland at Forbidden Door. And I'll go back to Bobby's comment. Interesting choice to win the Casino Gauntlet match, eh? Yeah.
I did not have that on my bingo card when everybody was out there. I was certain it was going to be Mystico.
Well, not to mention when everyone is out there. Like when you talk about before the match. Even before anyone the in match, the world,
I didn't think he'd be in it. Yeah.
No, and if he's in it, then he was going to lose because he's not going to win. He's not going to go against
Swerve. I thought they were setting up Jay White and Will Ospreay, possibly.
Yeah.
For a match or something to that effect. I thought that's what they were going to use all these people for. But
yeah, no, I mean, Mystico, Hechicero, I could have thought. I mean, I don't know that.
I couldn't have had Hechicero fighting for the world title.
Claudio?
Forbidden Door. No.
Claudio?
No.
Shooter?
Yes, I could have seen Shooter doing it.
Yeah, but no, it's Will. I mean, it'll be a great match. I would say it's the first time in I don't know how long that I have no idea who's going to win.
I think we're using up our powder a little quickly. I think that should have been a slow burn before those two ever fought.
Yeah, I mean, I did see an interesting theory from Brad on Twitter, who's a big AEW fan, at Ace of Stardom on Twitter. Part of me wonders if this was done as a way to quiet the talk of Swerve being a transitional champion to Ospreay winning it all in.
Oh, so definitely.
They do the match now and Swerve wins to cement his run. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking too, but
what you do is you because Ospreay ain't losing clean.
Right.
So probably Trent screws him as the newest member of the Callis family.
And then you transition to like.
And then you transition, so it's not really a loss.
Or they go to a draw. You do a 60-minute draw.
I would love a draw.
Yeah,
I really would. And then, but then, it's like let's do the rematch in Wembley.
No, you can't do that because he's got to win the Owen to get the match at Wembley.
Okay, so, no, that's true.
Yeah, so and that's already set. So, and I don't think he's going to be in that tournament. I could be wrong. Although
I think you're wrong. I think he's going to be in the Owen.
I don't think he is. Why? Okay. He's already got a belt.
That's true.
Yeah. Like, although, why would you have him in this thing?
Because you want your top star. So you put all the guys with belts in the Owen.
You
want
to know what's something funny is when Swerve looked at that list and said, oh, we got current champions. Something about the way he said it, I knew it was Will. Like, he was the only champion in this, and for some reason, like, I knew he was talking about Will Ospreay, even though I had no idea who was going to be in the match. Just
I can't possibly respond to
it.
That, Paul.
Well,
your clairvoyance is magnificent.
Well, I guess. I don't know. But, I mean, it didn't make any sense. But
no, it made no sense to me, because it was like one of those things where it's like, I thought it would have to be somebody from New Japan or CMLL. And the fact that they're pushing so hard that they are in a partnership with New Japan... Maybe this is the favor to New Japan is that it's Will Ospreay.
Yeah, and he's going to lose. And then, you know, and he's, yeah. Do you think they add someone from New Japan or CML and make it a three-way and they eat the pin? I mean, they could. I don't think they will. It doesn't
that would be terrible.
Seem, It doesn't seem like something they would do.
You can't do that now because you did that with Swerve, Hangman, and Joe to get the title on. To get to where we are. So I could see Hangman trying to screw somebody and accidentally hitting Will.
Change hands on DQs and AEW?
No.
Okay. So you could have Hangman return at this and attack Swerve, and could be Will's out.
The fascinating thing would be if they made it title out for title.
Yeah,
get but rid they of that won't. I don't think they title. Will. No. I think it'll be, you know.
And the other thing is, Will's going to be defending this title like every week, and like leading up.
Will
to the
might do. You know what? That's how they do this. Will does double duty.
Okay. Yeah.
He defends the international title. He gets hurt or injured or something like that. Swerve works on him. Injury comes back. Swerve can retain the title.
Yeah, overall, I thought like this show wasn't too bad.
It just seemed like some of the things were in the wrong order.
Yeah.
Again, and also I think it's so weird how Swerve feel. You bring him out to face Ospreay at the end of the night, but we already saw him in the first hour, and he didn't seem like a big deal, and that's scary to me.
Yeah, and because, then now if he's going to be wrestling, but I mean, if he's wrestling Will, I mean, that is definitely the main event.
And oddly enough, I think Swerve doesn't feel like a big enough deal because I think it's all that concentration on getting the Who's House chant going.
Yeah, that he's got to stop doing that in the middle of matches. Let the fans do it.
Fans do it.
Nana can do it, but he doesn't need to stop what he's doing. And
correct.
Who's House? Yeah.
That's WWE stuff, right?
And we got a month of build to this now, so I'm kind of here for that too. I like having the main event be announced a month. We got two main events basically announced for this, because we got Mercedes and Stephanie Vaquer that I assume is going to be on Forbidden Door.
I've never seen Stephanie Vaquer cut a promo. Can she cut a promo in English?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Yeah, I think she's from Chile.
Yeah, but I believe she resides in Mexico, so okay. Whatever. I'm trying to figure out the angle for Swerve and Will. And in terms of...
Well, it's got to have something to do with the Callis family, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, they're both guys from stables who were baby faces in heel stables.
Yeah.
So it's you know, it might be the shared experience thing, which would be interesting. I think they'll go heavy on Swerve being menacing, and I think that's going to be a mistake.
The angle could be that Swerve is tired of being disrespected. He's a champion. Everyone calls Will the best in the world, and hey, I'm the one with the title.
Yeah, you know, that'd be perfect.
Yeah, so he's kind of a tweener. But, you know, because, you know, the fans are going to be for Will. I mean, they'll be cheering for both guys. But where's the show? It's in New York.
Yeah,
it's
that's in Long Island.
Yeah, so that'll be a what? Will crowd.
But that's an interesting split, especially demographics of who's going to be rooting for Swerve and who's going to be rooting for Will.
Yeah, yeah. And then you got MJF that'll probably be on the show, too. And he'll be like the number one guy on that show. So...
some fans will totally support Will.
Well, they'll be wanting a title.
There were
change.
Fans at Double or Nothing who had no use for any of how do we put it? The Caucasian wrestlers.
True. I was surprised that the crowd was like 50-50 for Mercedes and Willow. I was expecting it to be 90-10 for Willow, and it was pretty mixed for both of them, I thought.
And I think that's why they didn't go full heel with her.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be. That could be. Yeah, so interesting show. And we got matches announced for, you know, for next week. Where I had them here. Did I run them? Oh, yeah. Rampage, Takeshita and Penta. We're going to have, and that's a TNT Championship Eliminator match. So winner, that's going to go to Forbidden Door in that ladder match.
I'll be very interested to watch Penta in that match.
Satnam Singh in action.
okay. Sure.
Tony Storm versus Viva Van and yeah. Kyle O'Reilly in action. And this is at 6:30 Eastern on Friday. So it's before the end.
So we're going to give Kyle a ceremonial win before we sacrifice him to the.
Yeah. Saturday, he's wrestling Will Ospreay for the international title. That's the only
Friday
thing
he'll beat. Who are we going to have? Who's he fighting on Saturday again?
Will.
He's fighting Will. So probably Seidel.
He's a baby face. So
yeah, I know.
Heel?
I'm thinking of somebody who is closest in style to Will that might be a heel of some sort, but I couldn't think of a heel.
So I'll go with Action Andretti.
Action Andretti would be a member, one of the members of Top Flight, perhaps, or Private Party.
There, Isaiah Cassidy.
Isaiah Cassidy.
There you go. There's your match. And it's probably being taped right now. And then next week's Dynamite has Mariah May and Soraya as, I believe, the only match announced for now. So, yeah, that is – and I don't know why they didn't just book Sky Blue and Mercedes for next week, but whatever. So, yeah, that's it. And Mariah and Soraya was supposed to happen this week, but apparently couldn't be there. So, Jeff, that's it. We've come to the end of another show. What else you got going on?
At Crap Game 13 on Elon Musk's X, I host a show called Shake Them Ropes over on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. This week, myself and Chris Novembrino going over all the fallout from King and Queen of the Ring and Double or Nothing, whatever we watch, and hopefully he'll get to me about our new feature, Vader Club, where we watch a hoss match or a tag match that it was originally Hose Me Club, but he doesn't like the term Hose Me, so he called it Vader Club. So we'll see if he gets back to me on that, and I'll watch that and tell you, and we'll geek out about that. But a lot of decent stuff. I think I'm going to probably geek a little bit out on Logan Paul more than most people. But that'll drop either Thursday or Friday, but he hasn't gotten back to me yet. So I don't know when, but it'll be later this week.
Yeah, I watched a lot of wrestling after I got back, had a bunch to catch up on. Still not quite. I still haven't finished watching the Rampage from like 2 weeks ago. And
you go back and watch old Rampages.
Well, I'm trying to watch them in order. So
I need to watch that Jeff Jarrett match from Collision. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I might check that out. You'll hear me chanting for Jarrett in the crowd and, go Mariah, go Mariah.
Yeah. You ticked off some people with that one.
Oh, whatever. Well, I guess, yeah, I was there as media. I did a show, yesterday with David Lovell, the Fantasy Festival, where we pick 15 bands that to be in the Ultimate Rock Festival, any bands in history, past, present, living or dead. And, that was a lot of fun. So you can find that I tweeted it out, yesterday. So check that out. It's a lot of great music. And then I'll be back next week with the Joy of Wrestling with, Draven. We were supposed to do it this week, but he forgot that it was Memorial Day, so he had plans, so we postponed it for a week. So I'll be back next week with that. And I'm also doing the Fight Game podcast with Garrett Gonzalez this week. So tomorrow on the Wrestling Observer Network, we'll be there. I think we'll be live on YouTube at midnight Eastern, I believe. So 9 p.m. Pacific. So check that out. And if you have a Wrestling Observer subscription, it'll also be in your audio feed. So for Jeff Hawkins, I'm Paul Fontaine, and this has been The Dynamite Show.
Prime Day is coming July 16th and 17th, with epic deals exclusively for Prime members. You'll feel like you just won an award.
Oh, wow, I didn't even prepare a speech. I'd like to thank my family for always needing stuff. Also Sam, my delivery guy, for bringing all my awesome deals so fast. You're the man, Sam!
Shop deals on electronics, home, and more this Prime Day, July 16th and 17th.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.